Wisconsin Eye review of the governor's sixth State of the State message continues. I want to thank two Republican leaders, two Democratic leaders, Democrats Chet Agnew and Augie McGinney-Wake, and Republicans Anthony Birch and Amelia Roll for coming in. We've just spent 30, 35 minutes going through the governor's speech. Let's talk about an overview. Anthony, the governor leads your Republican Party.
Yeah.
What did you think of his State of the State?
Yeah, you know, Stephen, you told us to take notes on it and what we thought, and I think I was looking at the introduction trying to find a note to make, and I couldn't. I mean, it was, the beginning lays it out. As you said, the Wisconsin comeback, we're moving forward as a state, and we continue to move forward. So I tried to find stuff to make notes in, and I just ended up underlining stuff, so I think it was great.
The governor wants all the headline writers to take that line. The soundbite from the governor's speech, the Wisconsin comeback is real. Chet?
I think just the Wisconsin comeback is real is a fun kind of buzzword headline. But I think one thing that I did underline, just like Anthony's saying, is that everyone who wants a job can get a job. I think that statement would rise some arguments from students who are post-grads, who are trying to stay in the state but are facing a struggling economy and not finding the jobs that they need. I think Governor Walker talks a lot about workforce development and employers looking for employees and not finding qualified employees, but at the same time, he's starving the university of funds. So it's, if you're looking for qualified employers, why are we punishing students for trying to become more qualified? I think that's really my sort of takeaway, is it's sort of confusing to me why the governor is championing his jobs proposals and his jobs successes when we're still last in the Midwest in job creation, and students are leaving the state to find work after they graduate.
Okay, we'll do some follow-up on some of those issues. Amelia, your overall reaction, please.
I think he has a lot to brag about. We have a lot of improvement in Wisconsin, especially with the lower unemployment rate, and we're second in the nation for ACT scores. I think that's great. I really liked it. Like Anthony said, I didn't find any issues with it. I was just underlining good things.
Okay. Augie?
Where do I even start? we'll talk a lot about the college affordability stuff in a little bit. He mentioned the tuition freeze at least five times that I counted, which is a whole bunch of baloney because there's a whole lot of problems with that. He talks about investing for people with disabilities, which is not true. My mom is an autism consultant, hi mom, and she works with these people every day. He has gutted that funding. She has lost clients because they can't afford to see her anymore because the state won't support them anymore. Tech schools, four-year university, it was just more of the same disappointing rhetoric from Governor Walker tonight.
Well, I'm going to suggest that maybe this was the first time all four of you sat and really analyzed a governor's State of the State speech all the way through. You probably caught excerpts. I'm going to ask you this. I'm really impressed with all four of you. You're exactly the type of people who we in Wisconsin want to stay here and have successful careers. After the governor, his first big point was, gee, our economy's doing great. Does that make you feel better about your ability to 5, 6, 7 years from now have successful careers in Wisconsin? Chet?
Not at all.
Do you figure you're gonna have to leave Wisconsin?
I'm planning on being in school for a while, so I mean,
okay.
Where I go depends on where they let me go to school. But I think the fact of the matter is, as a student here, I have friends who are graduating, friends who have graduated, and friends who are starting college. And all of these people are worried. All these people think they're going to move back home when they're done with school. They don't know where they're going to get employed. They don't know if they should go to grad school and take out more loans to go to grad school to become more qualified to then hopefully get employment after that. And I think it's just a confusing time for students who don't know what their future is going to look like, if they don't know whether they'll be paying off their student debt for the rest of their life, whether they can afford to move, live out on their own, or they have to move back home with their parents.
Okay, quick follow-up, Chet. So when the governor says our unemployment rate is 4.1% and our worker participation rate is like 68%, which is one of the top in the nation, that doesn't offer you comfort as someone who may try to find a career in Wisconsin, things like that. I'm not arguing for the governor's side.
Right,
I'm just trying to elicit your personal, visceral response.
Can I happen on this? If we watched President Obama's State of the Union address earlier this month, he said this is the longest streak of private sector job growth in our nation's history, which is great. And I think sometimes it gets hard to discern with these sorts of things what can be attributed to national things, what can be just state policies. Our economy in some ways has improved with the national economy. But the fact of the matter is that we're dead last in the Midwest for job growth. We're behind Minnesota, Michigan, we're behind all of our states around us, so something's not working.
Okay, I've got to look to my right, the Republicans. Do you feel more optimistic as a place where you might find your careers in 5, 6, 7 years as a result of hearing stats like this from the governor?
Yeah, I mean, 4.1%, lowest since 2001. Was the largest monthly job gain since April of 92. I mean, my roommate that I share a room with right now has an internship for this summer, and they've already offered him a full-time job after he finishes his fifth year of grad school. My three best friends from high school that go to the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater, they all are hired already. My roommate that lives across the hall, he's hired already. So we're all ready to go work, and we're waiting to go work.
And jobs are going to be there, Anthony.
Yeah, they're already hired, you know, so they're there.
Amelia, do you feel better about your ability to land a career here?
Absolutely, and I think something that's important to note is there are jobs available. Maybe it's not the one you dreamed of or wanted right after school, but there's a place for you to work here in Wisconsin. And I think another thing that we really need to focus on is the value of our education. I think it's really cool when you look at tech schools, because the UW Technical College System in 2014 said their placement of graduates into jobs right after graduation was 92%. So I think it's really important for us to look at after graduation, why are people not getting jobs? Why are you not getting a job good enough to pay off your student loan debt? Is it because the university perhaps did not equip you with the proper skills needed to succeed in the workforce? I think those are all things to take into consideration. So like I said, maybe it's not the job you wanted, but there is a job out there for you.
I want to pursue that. You said it very well, Amelia. Maybe it's not the job you wanted, because I was struck that some of the success stories that the governor waved at, had the people stand up, were, let me find my notes here. There was a Walmart. Mm-hmm. There were a number of certified nursing assistants. There was somebody working in a Harley warehouse, and there's a hotel housekeeper. So I was kind of tough on you, Chet, earlier, so I'll ask a critical question to Republicans. Are these the jobs of the future that you feel so good about? Because as our best and brightest, you don't want to be CNAs in Walmart, I think. I'm not denigrating those jobs, but any response?
No, I go reckon. What he's saying right there is just, that's the job training that's available. He was saying that there's gaps. He's working the proposals with trade companies and tech schools, trade schools and tech schools, is to fill those gaps, whether it's technology, whether it's taking people that, you know, as manufacturing jobs are leaving the country, maybe it's taking those people and instilling new worker training programs. Maybe not everybody is supposed to be a lawyer. Maybe not everybody is supposed to be a doctor. I think we need to look at where the free market is asking for jobs, and in the tech companies there's a lack of qualified work to get hired, and you're seeing that, and people are getting hired to go out and work on computers and code, and there's that gap between what our workforce is at and what the jobs that are out there, and I think his proposals are working to close that gap so that people can find those jobs.
Now you're a senior, correct?
Yes.
Are either of you seniors? No?
No.
Okay. So here's my question, Anthony. As a senior, here's what the governor said. Our tuition freeze saved the average student more than $6,000 over 4 years. Did you and your family, assuming your family helped you pay tuition, really feel that? You were helped by that? And do you trust that $6,000 number?
Well, the number's not higher. My loan debt isn't higher. I mean, it would have gone up. If you looked at the rate that it was going at, what was it, like some 18%? The average before that, it was going up. So that's literally real money that was frozen. And the tuition, all 4 years that I've been at the University of Wisconsin-Madison, has been the same. And that's certainty. I know what I'm going to have to pay. It's not, okay, what are they going to have to raise it to now? That was real money. And that was the tuition freeze money that came from the surplus that they found in the UW system. So pass that along to students like me, and it literally helped because it was money frozen.
Okay, good Democrats. The tuition freeze benefited you, did it not, Augie?
The tuition freeze is a great talking point. I'll give them that.
But didn't it save
not
you money?
Not a talking point for my wallet.
didn't it save you and your family, assuming your
parents?
Well,
so let me just back up here for a second.
Please.
So people are pretty quick to forget. In his first budget, so 2010, or 2011, 2013, he took office early 2011, tuition did still go up. It went up by 11%, 5.5% each year. And the fact of the matter is tuition may be frozen, but costs other places on campus still go up. Especially for out-of-state students. We brought this up a little bit earlier. Costs skyrocketed, fees around campus go up. And when you combine this with these crippling cuts, so you're saying the university, you're not going to get your funding, and you can't get any more money from students. They're in a chokehold. They can't do anything. So it's a farce. He's got it all wrong. You don't cut university funding and gut financial aid, for that matter. 40,000 students were denied financial aid. That's from the Legislative Fiscal Bureau. So he's got it all wrong.
But we're going after the. This is going after the root cause. I know you guys are big proponents of higher ed, lower debt. Mm-hmm. That's targeting a symptom. That's targeting after you've acquired this debt. Where is the incentive for the University of Wisconsin-Madison to cut tuition costs or try to be more responsible with their money if there is a big pool of loans and students who have all these available loans from the government that are ready to pay anything to go to college? Where is the incentive to be responsible with your money? There is none.
Do you want to answer? Because I've got a follow-up question.
But no, yeah, go ahead. No.
Okay, let's go through, point by point, the governor's college affordability plan.
Yeah.
It's on page 6 of his speech. Full deduction of student loan interest on state income taxes. Increase Wisconsin grants for tech colleges to help another 1,000 students. Expand the emergency grants program for students at tech colleges and two-year UW colleges. Increase internships. We're going to hire two new state officials to create more internships. And then if you're a first-year student at the tech colleges or the UW system, you have to take a class in financial literacy. How significant is that, Republicans? Amelia?
The financial literacy or just his college affordability package in general?
The whole package.
Well, what I really like about it, my favorite part, is that we're putting some more emphasis on technical schools, as I said, because I feel like that truly is a valuable education where the students are being trained and have the proper skills they need to succeed in the real world. And something that I really like about this plan, as opposed to alternatives that have been proposed, is that this is more beneficial to taxpayers because we are able to deduct student loan interest from income taxes. Mm-hmm. That really benefits the low income class and middle class families. And sure, maybe it's only like $600 or $700 at the end of the year, but you're still putting that money back in the pockets of those Americans who really need it. And I just think overall this is more beneficial for taxpayers, whereas the higher education, lower debt bill that has been proposed, it really concerns me because who is footing the bill when student loan borrowers are unable to pay back the state of Wisconsin? As we've been talking about, student loan debt is this rising phenomena, and it's becoming more difficult for grads to pay back their student loan debt, and as we've discussed, maybe get employed and get a job that is good enough to pay back that student loan debt. So how can you trust then? Like, what happens when somebody says, okay, I can't pay it back? That's Wisconsin taxpayers' money, and I believe that that's destructive to Wisconsin taxpayers because their money is footing the bill for these college students.
Okay, in the wake of the governor talking about his college affordability loan program, I've read the press releases from Democratic Assembly Leader Barca and Senate Democratic Leader Jennifer Schilling. So I know the Democrats think that this is much too little. Agree,
Jet?
Yes,
definitely agree. I mean, I think to
It's not my idea, but
right.
Okay. So what should he have done then?
I mean, just to respond to Amelia's points. I mean, I think I agree. Tech colleges are extremely important. They have great programs. But if Walker is really, Governor Walker is really focusing on tech schools, I think I'm confused as to why in his 2011-2013 budget, on the year of their centennial, of the oldest tech system in the country, he cut... He cut $70 million from their budget. And then now he's claiming that he's...
30%.
Right. He's claiming that he's reinvigorating our economy by giving these emergency funds for tech schools. And then... This the deduction with the reducing the cap or getting rid of the cap on the amount of interest you can deduct from your taxes, this only helps 3% of Wisconsin student loan borrowers. And it only amounts to around like $165 a year, which is like maybe a textbook. My bio textbook is like $200+. This is something that, like, it's honestly peanuts. There are 70% of Wisconsin's residents have student loan debt. And it's just, this epidemic is too great to not treat the symptoms, as Anthony said.
Democratic Senate Leader Schilling said, you shouldn't just allow tax deduction for the interest, but you should allow a tax deduction for the actual payment of your principal and the interest. I'm only saying what Senator Schilling said.
Right.
You guys agree?
That's the heart of the higher ed, lower debt bill.
Are you, now, you have a PS, Augie?
Yes. You should be able to refinance a student loan like you do a mortgage. It's pretty simple. Amelia made it sound like, if we pass higher and lower debt, they're not going to pay any of their student loan bills, which isn't true. It allows you to refinance them, just like a mortgage.
Or a car auto loan.
And just like the bubble that was created when the federal government made it a lot easier to get housing loans, and we had the financial crisis in 2008.
That's apples and oranges.
But it's not. It's the government getting involved and making massive amounts of money available to a lot of people. So what happens? A bubble. And that's what I'm concerned of, and that's what I'm concerned about.
And something I would like to add to that, too, is truly, though, there are people who don't pay back their student loan debt. That's why they charge you interest. So in case you can't pay
them
back.
You can't default on a student loan.
But the government provides forgiveness to some individuals, and I know it's not something we all like to admit, but it's much easier to file bankruptcy than ever before and still keep a lot of your personal property. So I just think we really need to focus on who is footing the bill, because if taxpayers are paying for everyone's student debt, that's an issue. And I do believe a lot of people are going to work towards paying back their student debt. But I'm just saying, you haven't laid out the consequences for us. What happens when somebody doesn't?
Bankruptcy doesn't even allow you to...
you cannot escape your student debt.
There are families whose children have died and they still have to pay back those loans. That's the kind of situation we're in. It's not easy to forgive student loans to the federal government. It's not something that's happening every day.
But this is shifting the liability from the federal government to the state of Wisconsin.
Right, and people,
right.
The way it works is that when this happens, people get tax deductions on the student loans if they stay in the state. So this is creating an incentive for students at these universities to stay in Wisconsin, work in Wisconsin, and provide benefits to the economy. The university is already the greatest economic driver in the state. So if
$23 return for every dollar put into the university.
Exactly.
Well, okay, but I have one follow-up question on the K-12 issues in higher ed before we go to a different subject. The governor is saying, let's try new innovative programs where high school students can take both high school and college credits to get a three-year degree, and if you're only borrowing for 3 years, you have less student debt. He devoted a lot of that to these innovations. Now, does that sound good to all four of you?
I mean,
any dissenters here? What's wrong?
I think simply if you do less school, you owe less debt. That's easy math that we all agree upon. But I think it fails to take into account that not everyone can do less school, and you shouldn't be punished for having to do more school. I have a double major. I am probably going to take more than 4 years at this university, but I have friends who are graduating in 3 years and still are not sure how they're going to fair with the student loan debt that they have.
Okay, I asked you before we went back on the air. I could not find, correct me if I'm wrong, the governor didn't refer to his presidential bid, did he?
No.
No.
Does he not want us to, did he not refer to it because the polls show that many Wisconsin residents really didn't want him to run for president? Why was that an omission?
Well, he may not have mentioned it explicitly, but I was looking on Twitter a little bit to see what people were tweeting about the state of the state here, and I saw a lot of people saying how reminiscent this sounded of some of his presidential stump speeches. At some points, it sounded like he was still running for president.
And echoing the race, even in the debates that he was president in, other Republican candidates were attacking his policies in Wisconsin and were making our points for us that his policies are not helping the state.
Some of them were using your talking points. But if you have a record to brag about, you're going to brag about it wherever you go. And I think that's what he's doing. If the numbers are good, you're going to talk about it. So that's what he talked about.
Was this, he talked about a listening tour. I'm going to use a term. Was this a kiss and make up speech? I know some of you didn't want me to run for president. I was out of the state a lot. So my term, was it a kiss and make up state of the state? What do you think, Amelia? You're looking kind of dubious there.
Well, I don't think it was. I think the focus was on what it should be, the state of the state. I mean, I don't think his presidential run made any difference to his ability to govern the state of Wisconsin. He still did it. We still made improvements in Wisconsin, and that's very obvious to me.
Are both you Republicans proud that at one point, almost a year ago, Governor Walker was doing very, very well in the national polls? Is that a credit to Wisconsin? Were you and are you proud that our governor was in the top tier for, albeit only a few months?
Of course, yeah, it was great. It was fun. We had just worked hard to split the youth vote in the state in 2012 when he won his reelection, and now he was going to take his message that resonated here, and he was going to take it to the national scene. So, yeah, it was exciting, right?
Yes,
yeah.
Absolutely.
Fellow Wisconsin residents, did you take no pride in the fact that Governor Walker
was? I mean, I'll be honest, I thought he was going to last longer. I thought that at one point I thought he was going to win the Iowa caucus, honestly, because I think he really has a message that a lot of conservatives rally around, and I think that has shown to be successful in Wisconsin, obviously. But I knew the time would come when, on the national scene, once national newspapers and media and people around the country saw basically the things he was bragging about and then saw the backlash from his own state, I knew it would come a time when it would all crash and burn.
Okay.
I don't know, I'll get you.
Yeah. I mean, we've been living in Scott Walker's Wisconsin for 5 years now. So it's not new to us, but it was new to everyone else in the country. And it sure didn't take long for his poll numbers to plummet. And I want to say one more thing about him still being able to govern the state while he was running. He was gone a lot. And when they were trying to pass this most recent budget, Republicans in the Capitol were saying it would be a lot easier if our governor was here.
Okay, but
a referendum on those poll numbers, too, maybe be in the state of Wisconsin winning two elections, or three elections, excuse me, I forgot.
Yes.
I mean, that was
Anthony,
a referendum.
You're right. The governor has said, look, I won in 2010, 2012 recall, 2014, and his term was one of the most tested Republican governors. I'm not arguing for him. I'm just saying that's his. Well, how about this? Did this speech sound to you like a governor clearly thinking about running for a third term, Anthony?
I didn't see anything. I mean, he's talking about the future, which is good. I like talking about the future, and I like a prosperous Wisconsin for the future. It's a state of the state, like Amelia said. And if you have stuff to brag about, like he did in the beginning, then yeah, we're going to brag about it, because the state of the state, as he said, is strong. And if you have ideas for the future, you're going to present them here. And we have a full, you know, Republican legislature that's ready to work hard to get a lot of these proposals done. So we should always be focusing on what's here, but preparing for what's in the future. And I think that's what he was doing.
And if he seeks a third term, you're going to support it?
I love Scott Walker, yeah, as my governor. I'd vote for him for governor.
Amelia?
Well, absolutely.
How do you feel about the governor?
I mean, I definitely think
exploring.
He's seeking a third term.
You do?
I think also local and statewide news networks have been reporting that he is seeking donations, he is fundraising, things like that. I mean, I think he will seek a third term, and I mean, I think it's obvious that I wouldn't support him in that term, but I mean, I'm excited to see the talent that our party puts forward as a candidate.
You want to float any names of if the governor seeks a third term?
Who, oh, there's who lots might of names run? People
Augie
are going around. Augie McGinnity Wake. I know we have a lot of people in leadership in our party that a lot of people are enthusiastic about.
Okay.
Such as Senator Schilling, a lot of people like her, a lot of people like Senator Larson, lots of people. We have tons of, I mean, I think people have come to such a height of frustration that there are so many people that are honestly just willing to run just to excite people about the race, and I'm excited about it.
This speech, this State of the State, was given by someone who's been called one of the most divisive governors in the nation. Why is that, Anthony?
He calls it, I mean, he went big and bold, and when you shake up the system, you're not going to make people happy. But three elections in 4 years, I mean, like, you can't, he won. People, if they didn't like him, could vote against him. And you had your chance in the recall, you had your chance in 2012, and he won. So, period.
Scott Walker.
Go ahead, Augie.
Scott Walker's a great politician. I think we can agree on that. He's really good at talking points. We talked about the tuition freeze. It's a great talking point, but it's really easy to poke a lot of big holes in it. So the three elections in 4 years, again, great talking point, but problematic. And if big and bold, if that means, you know, devaluing teachers, cutting money from K-12 schools, I don't think that's big and bold at all.
ACT score second in the nation, reading rates from fourth and eighth grade up. I mean, I can just point back to that.
You probably don't get a chance to watch a lot of the governor's speeches in total. Was this a kinder, gentler Scott Walker than you had thought after I asked you to come in here and take a hard look at the governor's speech? Kinder, gentler, Chet?
I mean, I think he does a really good job of being very calm, having a really, I think when he speaks, he really channels the everyday person in Wisconsin in the way he presents himself, in the way he talks, his tone. So I think he, like Augie said, he's a really great politician. I think he is good at that. I think he's good at using his words to present an image of Wisconsin and his accomplishments in a way that is meant to comfort people.
And I
obviously disagree with the statements he makes. I don't think that, I'm not comforted by them because I know the backup statistics of things that are opposing the opposing arguments, and I know from people I talk to that a lot of these things are not true. But I mean, your question is whether or not he gives off a demeanor that is comforting or softer, and I think, yeah, he's very good at that.
Well, when I asked you your most important issue, didn't you say voting rights?
Yeah.
Do you think that is the... Does that mean then that you think the changes to the voting rights law, the photo ID, et cetera, has been one of the most damaging legacies of the Walker administration?
Definitely. He disenfranchised 300,000 residents of Wisconsin, people in the state. They can't, you know, yes, you can say that, oh, well, people can go to a DMV and get an ID for free, but it's not free if people have to take off work hours to go to a DMV during office hours. It's not free when you're trying to get rid of voting on weekends and trying to limit access to vote. Senator, former Senator Dale Schultz, who is a Republican, has made a lot of statements criticizing the Walker administration and the Wisconsin GOP for really encouraging voter ID as a method to prevent voter fraud. But he himself has said that voter fraud is not a problem in this state. And that's one of the reasons I think that he didn't run for re-election and left his seat, because he was fed up. He said that he was fed up with this party and that it's trying to keep Wisconsin residents from letting their voice be heard. And we see that at the university. Our WISCards are not compliant with the laws because you need to have an expiration date on your student ID within 2 years of getting that student ID in order to use it for voting. When most students at our university are four-year students, our WISCards are, we get one WISCard for 4 years. So this seems, there's all these restrictions there that are just, I can only see them as ways to prevent students from voting. students are not known for committing voter fraud. This is not like a huge problem that we have to be fighting.
This isn't Chicago in like the 1930s.
Do you want to respond to the photo ID? Because he considers it a pretty gross affront to voting rights in Wisconsin. He just said that. I'm paraphrasing. Mm-hmm. Either of you want to respond to a photo ID to vote?
Yeah, I mean, I don't want my vote canceled out. And I don't think any of us want our vote canceled out. You know, we cast that in full faith and trust that it's going to count and it's going to matter. And we require a photo ID for everything else. You need a photo ID to buy alcohol, to go. I mean, if you have a credit card and the cashier wants to check your ID, you need an ID for that. I mean,
to work.
Yes.
You're talking about taking off work to get an ID. You need an ID usually for work. I mean, I'm a waitress, so I work with a lot of cooks and other waiters and waitresses. They all have IDs, and I mean, I would just like to know what percentage of people actually don't. Sorry for interrupting you. Keep going.
Except, well, that was great.
If I can respond, why are we equating the right to vote to the right to drink alcohol or buy an airplane ticket or get a credit card? These are not the same thing. The right to vote is fundamental.
Right, and that's why I want to make sure yours isn't canceled out.
Why would it be canceled out?
Because if there's voter fraud, it's small. But who are you to say, okay, it's small, your vote's going to get canceled out this time, I'm sorry, but it's a small percentage, so we're not going to guarantee that your vote is going to count.
Well, and it's this... This is really ironic because printing all these IDs and everything costs money. Someone needs to pay for it, like everything else. And Governor Walker and Republicans in the state are always talking about this mantra of cut costs, lean government. He has, I think his initiative was lean government, whatever, in his speech.
Yeah. He pointed to a $38,000 savings, which in a budget of $75 billion is pretty meager, but go ahead.
So these IDs cost money, and if we decided that, oh, well, there's 0.0001% voter fraud, so we're going to pour millions of dollars into IDs. If we did that with every minuscule microscopic issue, we'd be beyond broke.
This isn't conservative government, honestly.
I mean, I'll let you speak for your liberal ideas. We'll speak for our conservative ideas, but lean government doesn't mean no government. And this is one of those places where, as you said, a fundamental right that needs to be ensured. The government, that's their job. And if we want our voices heard, who are we to say whose vote is going to get canceled out or not?
Okay. And on that note, we have to bring it to this show to a close. I want to do it in this way. I really respect that the energy and the passion that all four of you have for politics. Thank you for being here. So here's my question.
Thanks for having us.
Do you envision at some point running for partisan office? Augie.
I don't know. We'll see.
Does it appeal to you?
You know, maybe if you're in, you know, it's a lot of being in the right place at the right time. I enjoy what I do here in college. I'm a student right now. And I have no idea what my career will hold. I'm sure none of us do.
Jet?
I think I'm really drawn to public service. I don't know if, you know, actual candidacy or that sort of thing is really, being an elected official is necessarily where I see myself doing public service, but I think public service is important for everyone, and I think that's somewhere where I am passionate about and I would like to see myself working in the future.
Anthony, partisan politics in your future?
I like working where I can make a difference, and I feel that I am making a difference being active in politics. So like we said, where that is down the road, we'll have to see. And I'm Anthony Birch, and I approve this message.
Amelia, do you give any thoughts on running?
If someday that seems to be my calling and I should be a public servant, then absolutely. At the moment, I do want to continue to be involved in politics, not necessarily. I wouldn't say bipartisan. I want to work on a campaign someday. So like Anthony said, I want to make a difference. And to me right now, that seems to be my best opportunity. So.
Well, I really want to thank all four of you for coming
in. Thank you, Steve.
Previewing the State of the State and for post-game on the State of the State. My thanks to Democrats Chet Agnew and Augie McGinney-Wake, and Republicans Anthony Birch and Amelia Roll. Thank you all very, very much. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.